Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, care of Star Times. I saw your ad in the paper and I wondered if you'd help me. I can't go to the police and I have no money for a private detective. But my father is in trouble, I'm sure, and when you find out who he is, you'll know why I can't go to the police and how I...
Oh, why I can't go to the police and why I must have help. This is Sheila Corbett, 356 Waring Avenue. It didn't sound like much, this letter, but I did find out who her father was. I found him dead. Then learned he was alive. Sure, it sounds impossible, but that was it.
I wonder why she can't go to the police.
Susie, if I knew that, I wouldn't have to go to see Mrs. Corbett.
Gee, Mr. Holliday, it sure sounds like a wild goose chase. He'll probably turn out to be a dub. Oh, is that the word I wanted?
Susie, only you can give the answer to that question.
Well, once in a while I get a word right. Well, don't I?
Oh, sure, sure. That's what makes it so interesting. When you do get one right, I don't know what you're talking about.
Kind of makes it the size of life, huh?
Two strikes, and before you foul tip the next one, I'm leaving for... What was that address?
Oh, 356 Waring Avenue.
356 Waring Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So long, Susie. It wasn't a very nice neighborhood, 356 Waring Avenue. But the flat I entered was neat, clean, scrubbed, and polished. And the woman who asked me to sit down was as neat and clean as the room. I waited for her to start things, and she did.
I'm Mrs. Sheila Corbett.
Yes, I guess that. And I'm Box 13. My name's Dan Holliday.
Well, I don't know how to start, Mr. Holliday.
The beginning's always a good place, Mrs. Corbett. Saves time and trouble.
I want you to find my father.
You said you couldn't go to the police about it. Why not?
Because my father is a paroled convict. Do you understand?
Are you afraid he's done something?
No, I know that's not true. He swore he'd go straight when he came home.
But you think he hasn't.
I didn't say that.
But the fact that you're afraid to go to the police says so. Look, Mrs. Corbett, if he's done nothing wrong, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yes, I know. But there'd be questions. I have two children, Mr. Holliday. A husband who's wonderful to me. No one in this neighborhood knows about my father, so... Well...
All right, Mrs. Corbett, I'll give it a whirl. But first, when did you last see your father?
The day after he was released on parole. He came here.
Was he all right?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. He'd come home. He was here maybe 2 hours when the phone rang.
Sheila! Sheila, telephone!
Answer it, will you, Dan?
All right. Hello? Oh, yeah, it's me. Why'd you call up? Look, I said nothing doing. I meant it. I'm straight now. Nothing doing. You won't get them, and I won't say where they are. Let me alone, will you? Just let me alone.
Dad, who was it?
Just a man I used to know.
Who?
Nobody you know, honey.
Well, what did he want?
Nothing.
You were afraid. Why? Why were you afraid?
It wasn't anything, Sheila.
Dad, if there's something wrong...
There ain't.
You're on parole.
I know it. Don't you think I know it?
I'm sorry.
No, that's up. Look, Sheila.
What, Dad?
Yeah. I want you to keep this for me.
What is it?
Just a piece of paper. What's up, Mom? Put it in a safe place. Keep it for me.
Keep it for you? Dad, why do you say that?
There's nothing to worry about, Sheila. Nothing at all. Now just forget all about it and don't worry because there ain't anything to worry about.
You said there wasn't anything to worry about, Mr. Holliday. but I was worried. He didn't come home that night. For the next day.
And you don't know where he went?
No.
May I see the piece of paper he gave you?
Yes, here it is.
Is this all?
That's all.
517 Slack Street, S. Thomas, 945. Does this mean anything to you?
No.
Do you know the address, 517 Slack Street?
Not at all.
And the name, S. Thomas?
I never heard it before.
Do you mind if I take this?
No, of course not. Do you think you know what it means?
No more than you do, but I'll try to find out.
How?
By going to 517 Slack Street and seeing if there's a Mr. S. Thomas there. The piece of paper with a message on it seemed like it might be a reminder to meet Mr. S. Thomas at 945 at this address. But when? What day? Why? Was S. Thomas the man who called Mrs. Corbett's father on the phone? You know, a guy can ask himself a lot of questions and get no answers. So I drove to 517 Slack Street. It was a pawn shop, with everything from gold toothpicks to elephant heads. And clocks. Lots of clocks that ticked off little punctuation marks into the silence. Hello? Hello? Anybody here? Holy mackerel. Holy mackerel. Hey, what's it?
Hey, you. Hey, you. Come on, wake up. Hey, McGuire, look. This guy's out like high-button shoes. You, wake up. Come on. That's the boy. Come on, sit up.
Sit up? Without my head?
Look, fella, parking on the side of the road isn't allowed.
Who are you?
State trooper, who are you?
I'm Dan Holliday.
Welcome to Hamilton County.
What did you say?
Look, are you drunk?
Did you say Hamilton County?
That's it. We saw your car. Looked like there wasn't anybody in it. Stopped to take a look.
And found me.
You're no Easter egg, but brother, all that lump on your head needs is a shell.
How far is it to the city?
About 70 miles.
Thanks, I'll be going now.
Oh, no, maybe you better come with us.
All right. Get in touch with Lieutenant Kling. I'll identify myself and tell him a nice story. He won't believe it, but I've got a lump on my head to back me up.
That's happened from the beginning.
You don't believe me, do you?
You saw a dead man on that pawn shop.
Then somebody teed off on me for a hole-in-one. When I woke up, I was out in the country, out in the next county.
In your own car?
In my own car.
What time did you go to the pawn shop?
It was 2:15.
That's 5 now. That's better than 3 hours. And no dead bodies have been reported. I keep in touch with them.
I tell you, I saw one.
Whose?
I didn't ask.
What'd they look like?
Medium height, gray hair, blue suit. That's about all I can tell you.
Gray. Nothing else?
I didn't get to count his teeth because the roof fell in. Look, I've got a knot on my head. Doesn't that prove anything?
Yeah, I guess it does. But you're sure you didn't recognize the man you saw lying dead?
No, I never saw him before.
And you went there looking for...
I'll be doggone.
What's the matter?
I didn't ask her his name.
Her? Who?
Mrs. Sheila Corbett.
What?
Does that fence strike a spark in your iron head?
You ever hear of a man named Winslow? Albert Winslow?
No.
Ex-convict. Parole. Sent up for counterfeiting.
It might be. You got a picture of him?
Yeah, wait a minute. Sergeant, file on Albert Winslow. Bring it in.
Albert Winslow has a daughter named Mrs. Sheila Corbett. Is that it?
What deduction? By the way, Winslow answers the description of your dead man, roughly.
And let's get going.
Hold your horses. Bring it here, Sergeant.
Yes.
Nice.
Let's see it.
There you are. Well, that's all, Sergeant.
Okay.
Kling, look. This is Albert Winslow, and Albert Winslow is the man I saw dead in that pawn shop.
You sure?
Look, could I make this up?
I guess not. Okay, Dan, let's go to your pawn shop and see what we can redeem.
This is it. 517 Slack Street.
Gone.
The same place?
Sure it is.
Yes, sir. Can I do something for you?
Maybe. This your shop?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Were you in here at 2:15 this afternoon?
2:15? Well, yes, yes, one.
You're sure?
Well, of course.
How long have you been here?
Why, about 15 years.
I mean today.
Holiday. Would you like my badge?
Badge?
Yeah, police, homicide.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I... What's the matter, Dan?
You'll take a look behind this counter.
Huh? Well, I'm looking. What am I supposed to see?
Albert Winslow dead.
Where?
Look, Winslow is behind this counter at 2:15 this afternoon.
Excuse me, but I don't understand this.
Neither do I.
What's your name?
Holiday.
Shut up. Yours?
Barlow. Michael Barlow.
You know a man named Albert Winslow?
I never heard of him. No, I'm sure I didn't.
Mind if we look over your face?
Oh, certainly not. But I still don't understand.
I'll draw it for you, Mr. Barlow. At 2:15 this afternoon, I walked into this shop.
This one?
This one. There was no one here except a dead man behind the counter. Then I was slugged.
In here?
That's right.
But that's impossible. Well, I've been here all day.
Come on, we'll take a look around.
Wait a minute, Clint.
What now?
This place looks a little different from what it did earlier. It looks as though it's been changed around.
Well, that's impossible, too.
Dan, are you sure this is the place?
Of course I am.
Okay, we'll give it a fine-tooth comb job.
Certainly, help yourselves. Be only too glad to do anything I can, although this is certainly very peculiar.
Thus, we have the understatement of the week.
Well, let's get...
That's my phone. May I answer it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, 3 minutes. Hello? Who? Oh, yes, just a minute. Lieutenant Clean.
Yeah?
It's for you.
Thanks. Be right with you. Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Sergeant. What? Say that again. Okay, thank you. We won't have to go over your place, Barlow.
No, you won't.
What are you talking about, Clean?
Holiday, there's a Sergeant Garvin. He's very efficient.
So, what's that got to do with this?
Lots. I left word where I could be reached. He reached me.
What are you building up to?
I don't know, but it's not good for you.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
More to the point, what's on yours?
Now, look, I don't get this. What was that call about?
About Albert Winslow.
Go on.
You saw him dead at 2:15.
I said I did.
You want to change your story?
Now, look, why should I?
Because Albert Winslow reported to his parole officer no later and no earlier than 4:20 this afternoon.
And now, back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's latest adventure, The Dead Man Walk.
Yeah, that was it. The man I saw dead at 2:15 was alive again at 4:20. That's impossible. Kling said it was, and better than Kling, my own common sense said it was. So later that night, I went back to see Mrs. Corbett.
But you went to the police. You promised you wouldn't.
I'm sorry, but I had to. I saw your father.
Dead. Dead, you think?
I know that's a brutal way to put it, Mrs. Corbett, but it's the only way.
And the police?
There's nothing they can do or want to do. Your father reported to his parole officer. He has to do that once a month.
Please. Please find him.
I think I did find him.
Oh, no. No, it can't be.
Mrs. Corbett, I've got to ask some questions. You've got to answer them.
I'll try.
Good. Now, look, your father talked to someone on the phone. He didn't mention any names?
No.
Not even the name Thomas?
I'm sure of it.
One dead end after another. Do you know the names of any of your father's... well...
accomplices?
Yes.
I don't remember any names, but... I can tell you the place where they used to meet. Where he was arrested.
Where was it?
A house in Brennan Square. 618, I think.
Now, you said your father spoke to someone on the phone and said he wouldn't give them something.
But I don't know what he was talking about.
And you haven't heard from him at all?
No.
You're sure you'd get in touch with him?
Oh, I know it.
Okay, Mrs. Corbett. I'll try the lead you gave me. 618 Brennan Square. Was an old frame house that looked as though its last tenants had moved out to go to George Washington's inaugural. Its windows were boarded up and the rusty iron fence in front bowed politely to the houses across the street. I walked up the stairs and knocked on the front door, never expecting an answer. I was about to turn away and chalk this off to exercise when...
Yeah? What do you want?
I'm looking for someone.
Ain't nobody here.
Mr. S. Thomas, perhaps?
Nobody. I'll beat it.
Just a minute. Maybe you've got an Albert Winslow living here.
What was that name again?
Albert Winslow, as in Homer.
I don't get it.
You wouldn't. But do you know anyone by that name?
Maybe you better come in.
Maybe I should.
Come on.
Do you live here?
Caretaker, that's all.
Oh, I see.
What you stopping for?
I don't like haunted houses. This looks like one.
You're nuts.
Look, before we go any farther, maybe you'd like to tell me why you let me in when I mentioned the name of Albert Winslow.
Maybe he was a friend of mine.
I think I'd like a breath of fresh air.
Maybe you'll be lucky to get any breath at all, chum.
Oh, it's that way.
This way.
What's the idea?
It was yours, chum. Now come on. Get in front of me. Come on. Company, Eddie. Looking for Al.
Getting crowded. Come in. I've seen you before someplace. Oh, yeah. You came in Barlow's shop this afternoon. You didn't stay long, did you?
I took a sleeping tablet over the head. And you prescribed it, huh?
Yeah. I thought maybe you was just a guy, but now you come nudging in here. Charlie.
What?
You asked for Al, huh?
That's right.
Sit down. Charlie, see if Barlow's come to.
Okay.
Barlow? The pawn shop owner?
That's right. We couldn't get anything out of him, so we'll try you.
What do you mean?
Guess. Take a look at Barlow.
You gave plenty to remember you by, didn't you?
Uh-huh. Now you keep looking at him and keep thinking how you look if you don't talk.
About what?
That's a starter. Now talk.
Sure, I'd still say about what?
I'll give you 5 minutes to tell us where the plates are.
Plates?
Yeah, plates.
Oh.
I don't know anything.
Barlow's stubborn. You gonna be that way, too?
Come on, let him alone.
Sure, but him and Winslow were pals. Winslow would tell him, maybe you know, too.
Look, I'm trying to find Winslow, that's all.
That's all, huh?
Why, you...
Sit still.
And take it. Now, come on, where are the plates? What did Winslow do with them? He hit them before he took the rap, and we want them.
Counterfeit plates?
Where are they?
I don't know.
All right, Charlie, go ahead. Go ahead and make him talk.
That's no use, Eddie. He won't spill.
Get rid of him, then.
No, either he or Barlow knows where Winslow's plates are.
Barlow? Barlow doesn't know, neither do I.
I think he's telling the truth, Eddie.
Go through his pockets.
Okay. Identification cards. Name Dan Holliday.
Do your reading some other time. What else is it?
Look, Eddie, look.
517 Slack Street, S. Thomas, 945.
That's the pawn shop, Barlow's place.
Yeah. What's the rest of it mean?
I don't know.
You. What's this mean?
If I tell you I don't know, I'll get battered around like a cue ball again.
Why, you...
Cut it out, Eddie.
Well, I know.
Look, he went to Barlow's place this afternoon. If he knew where the plates were, he wouldn't be here, would he?
So?
They've got to be at Barlow's shop.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Okay, tie them up, both of them. And Mr. Holliday, if we come back without the plates, you walk out without your head.
They did a good job of tying Barlow and me to the chairs. Then when they were gone, I talked with Barlow. Barlow? Barlow, are you all right?
Yeah, I... think so.
What happened? Who were those men?
They knew Albert Winslow years ago. He engraved counterfeit plates.
What happened in your shop?
I was in the shop early this afternoon. I hadn't seen Albert since he was released. Then he came into my shop. First, I didn't recognize him. Then he spoke to me. You remember me, don't you, Barlow?
I seem to.
Take a good look.
Al Winslow.
How are you?
Fine, but you?
Parole.
Oh, I see.
It's all right, Barlow. I'm going straight.
Well, of course. Here, sit down. Back in the shop.
Wait a minute. I want to take a look around.
So what are you looking for, Al?
Things didn't change much around here, did they?
What do you mean?
Nothing. Look, Barlow, I want to go straight, so there's something I got to tell you, all right?
Mm-hmm. What's the matter? Oh, customers. I'll be back in a minute.
No,
not customers. What?
Hello, Al. Eddie. This is Charlie. You remember Charlie?
Sure.
Sit down, Barlow. Take it easy.
What is this?
Sit down, Barlow. Do what he says.
That's right.
Okay, Al, where are they?
I told you on the phone, you can't have them. I'm going straight. I'm going to turn them over to the government.
Sure. Beautiful place like ours. Not much, you want. Where are they?
No. I won't tell you.
Don't be a sap. We'll take them and get out.
Then I'd be picked up again. The feds know my work. I'll have a great chance. I'm on parole.
Please.
Let me alone. Just let me alone.
Sure. When we get the plates. They in here?
No.
Barlow, what do you say?
You don't know anything.
Come on, Al. Where are they?
Look, I got to report to my parole officer this afternoon. If I don't, they'll come after me. And you.
I'll cut it out.
I...
Hey, Charlie. Tommy.
Al.
Oh, Eddie.
Why, you idiot. You mutton head. You killed him.
I'll call the police.
Get Winslow behind the counter. Now, come on.
Eddie, there's somebody coming in.
Barlow, get out of sight. Charlie, get Winslow behind the counter. Now, duck back of that screen. Come on.
Hello? Hello? Anybody here?
That was you, Mr. Hunley. Eddie hit you when you saw Winslow's body.
Uh-huh. That's where I came in. But later when I went back with Lieutenant Kling, what about them?
Well, I had to do what I did. They were upstairs. My wife was there. They threatened to...
I see. But Winslow reported to his parole officer that afternoon, after he was dead.
It was a telephone call they made from my shop. Charlie pretended to be Winslow. He told the officer he'd report in person in an hour. Then he hid Winslow's body in the basement. It's there now.
Oh, nice, clever people. Now, what about those plates? Do you know where they are?
No. But Winslow frequently came to see me here. He was often in the shop alone and...
Barlow, I've got it. I know where those plates are.
Where?
Come on, let's get out of here first.
Yeah, but how?
Look, there's a drink glass on that table. I'll squirm my chair over there and knock the glass on the floor to break it.
Well, but I...
Hold it.
Here I go.
Okay, Barlow. Escape over. Overturn your chair and get a piece of glass. Cut these ropes on my hand. I've got a date with a boy named Eddie. And he who slaps last, slaps best.
Better wait outside the shop, Oliver.
Oh, no, Kling, I'm too fond of Eddie. A lump on my head and a welt across my face. Please, don't shoot him.
No, take it easy. Kelly, Macklin, take it back. Go ahead. You ready, Dan?
Yeah, let's go.
There they go.
Why, you.
Hello, Eddie.
Dan, need I help?
Just pick him up and steer him in my direction.
That's enough, boys. All cleaned up.
Eddie disappointed me.
Yeah, me too. He didn't hit you once. All right, out you go. Kelly, take Pretty Boy here and slap some jewelry on him. And, what are you looking at, Holiday?
Me? Why, I'm looking at Mr. S. Thomas.
Huh?
I thought his name was Eddie.
I'm not looking at him, Kling. I told you I was looking at Mr. S. Thomas. And 9:45.
Well, go on, Mr. Holliday. What then? Who was Mr. S. Thomas, and what did 9:45 mean?
Mr. S. Thomas, Susie, was a clock. One of the famous old Seth Thomas clocks. He was the only one in the shop whose hand stood at 9:45.
Yeah, and?
Well, Winslow had put his counterfeit plates on the pendulum arm, and that's where they were when we got them.
You mean they looked like a pendulum weight?
Exactly. It was very clever.
But gee, what if somebody had brought the clock?
Well, that was a chance he took, but no one did. And that's that.
Hmm. There's one more thing that puzzles me.
One?
Yeah. Suppose Eddie and Charlie got the plate and made counterfeit money from them.
So?
Would they have to declare it for income tax?
Income? Oh, good night, Susie.
Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, with this week's original story by Russell Hughes. Original music is composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. Part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker, and that of Lieutenant Kling by Edmund MacDonald. Production is supervised by Vern Carstensen. Box 13 is a Mayfair production from Hollywood.